Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 18 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are joined by Avis's aunt, Jamie Rhodes, to discuss Degrassi Season 3, Episode 22, The Power of Love. Hi, Jamie. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jamie Jane.
What up, Avis and Caroline? Thank you so much for having me, finally.
Thank you so much for being here. And on such short notice, we really appreciate it.
And yes. To be honest, the only reason why I watched Degrassi was through Avis's assistance.
Is this your, like, first intentional viewing of an episode of Degrassi?
No.
Yes. To intentionally.
Oh, intentionally.
Intentionally. Yes. But I have watched the whole series, you know, because once you start an episode, I feel like Degrassi. Degrassi for me is if the original Beverly Hills 90210 and the 80s after school specials had a baby, it would be Degrassi.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I personally highly recommend this series. We're going to cover it on Caroline and Avis Binges. Or binge, I guess, because there's two of us. I know how English works.
Right.
But there's a series that only got two seasons called The L.A. Complex, which I've always described as, like, if Degrassi and Melrose Place had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it's got Manny.
It does. Manny's in
and
it.
And it's yeah. a fun little series.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I did force Jamie to watch it. You know, I was like, Jamie, because you are a little bit, like, you were the right age to get Degrassi, but you never watched it growing up.
I think maybe because it was Canadian, or perhaps I was already in college doing college people.
You were already in college doing college people stuff, yeah.
Wasn't necessarily sitting around watching Degrassi, though we did watch Felicity. So
Felicity's, yes, I remember you and Felicity.
So, I'm just thinking maybe because it was Canadian, mm-hmm. it might have went over our American heads, or at least our older ones, because, yeah, we wrote with Felicity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're
and all her hair, bad hair.
Yes. In 2001, when the show premiered, were you already in college, Jane?
Yes, I was. The first half of 2001 is when I graduated from Monco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I think Jamie's a little...
I was but a sprout.
Obviously. Yes.
We are 14 years apart in age,
fun fact about Miss Avis is that she had her acting debut in one of my student friend's movie. She was the bratty Ashanti.
Mm-hmm. I was I did your movie The Brat.
Yes, too. Yes, and you starred in my short that I made called The Brat.
Do you have that anywhere, Jamie?
I have, you know
Caroline,
what?
You know what? Don't ask that so casually. It like, you're not going to post that all over the internet if you get your hands on it.
I would not post old footage of you on the internet without your consent. I would watch it and say, look at cute baby Avis, and probably be like, Avis, can we post this on the social stuff?
Can we do this? Well, I appreciate that. And I would probably let you, because I was I remember that whole thing, that whole movie, and it's probably pretty cute.
Yeah, because it was so long ago, and it was like, I don't, it was on digital hi-8. They didn't even make digital hi-8 anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even if I did have those tapes, unless
how would we watch them?
If I didn't have my camera.
I would troll every restore in my state every week until I found the technology. So,
and another fun fact about my camera, remember, his name was Billy, after Billy Zane, because I was riding that hard with him and Titanic.
You know who's going to be at the con?
Mm-hmm.
Is Billy Zane going to be at the con?
Billy yep. Zane.
Oh, yeah. No.
Which, speaking of the con,
it's the oh no for me.
Yeah. All right, Jamie's going to be joining us at the con. speaking of...
Hey, Pasta Fam. We're headed to Smoky Mountain Fan Fest this August, where Degrassi's very own Pat Mastriani, Melissa McIntyre, and Shane Kippel will be in attendance, along with tons of other exciting non-Degrassi guests.
To aid in our journey, we're asking for donations. But in return, if you make a donation of $5 or more... we will send you a free flyer-sized Harris Tour poster at the conclusion of the fundraiser.
But that's not all. Two lucky donors will receive Harris Tour's posters signed by Shane Kippel himself.
If you'd like to snag yours, head on over to PayPal or Venmo. You can find us on both as @PadCast. And remember, that's PAHD Cast. Make your donation of $5 or more and send an email to yourmomspadcast@gmail.com. with your Venmo or PayPal name and your mailing address. And for every $5 after that first, you'll get another entry into the drawing for a signed Harris Tour poster. And as always, Patreon subscribers get double entry.
Yes.
And with that, we stuff, actually, guys. We have one more thing, kind of
matter of business.
In line, matter of business. To attend to, which is, we haven't done this before. I don't know how often we'll do this, but I was talking recently to one of our listeners, Miranda, and she just kind of let me know some of the stuff that's going on in her life right now. And I know everybody's life is kind of, everybody's always going through it. That seems to be what life is. It's great, isn't it? No, it is though, because then sometimes things are beautiful. But Miranda's going through it right now, and we just wanted to take a minute and say that we love you, and we're really glad to have you in the Pasta Fam.
Yes.
To you and the littlest Pasta, because she has said that her little boy is a listener, too.
I know.
She gave him the Pasta Fam sticker.
We have small Pastas. We have baby Pasta.
Little Orzos. All right, Miranda, I'm officially, I don't know what your son's name is, and I'm sure you gave him a great name. And if you want me to call him by his name, I will. But until then, he is Lil Orzo. And we love him.
We do. We love you both. We definitely appreciate you and just, like, the support you show and, the connection you have to our show. It's really, it's so
Miranda
awesome.
Makes really great contributions to the caption contest in the group. And yeah, thank you for the support that you give us. And we love you.
We love you.
And we're thinking
Miranda.
Of you. All the good vibes yes. your ways.
Yes.
Thoughts and prayers and thoughts, THOTS and THOUGHT. I can't spell words right now. But both kinds of thoughts and tots and pairs and prayers and vibes your way, Miranda. Because I am very tired. We had
it
a huge
so
birthday
clear.
Bash for my dad.
When I tell you that I don't know if I've seen you this tired ever.
It's so much family. It's so much family.
You're
it
like
a lot. Yeah. On that note, Jamie, do you want to lead us into this discussion with a poem?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So. Roses are red. Sean confesses his thieving ways, and Marco sets the gym ablaze. Another year has come to an end, which means it's time for another Degrassi semi-formal. Jimmy is trying his best to impress his new girlfriend, Hazel, but absolutely everything goes wrong. The person more stressed than Jimmy is Margot, who pulled off a truly spectacular Bollywood-themed dance. Truly spectacular, until he sets the gym on fire, that is. Over in the B plot, Snakes reminds Sean that he cares for and believes in him, which leads Sean confessing to stealing Snake's laptop. And over in the highly unnecessary C plot, Joey asks Caitlin to move in. Neat.
I'm glad that you agree with me, Caroline, that there, I mean, it's obviously that there were three plots, but I just think that,
yeah,
I just feel like if we're going to go with the least eventful plot, which is what we usually do, we start with the B plot. Let's go down to the C plot and talk about Joey and Caitlin. And this cap on their story for now, the culmination of their arc this season, which is fucking boring.
I actually really like Joey in this episode.
I really like Joey in this episode too.
But Caitlin sucks. Like, okay.
No.
So Caitlin, season one starts with the 10-year reunion. So Caitlin's 28 when it starts. So she's like 31 now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is like, you are way too old
to be
acting this way, to be like just deciding unilaterally to put something you've like been driving towards on that hold.
That she submitted and a year ago. You were a year in.
And then to be mad at your boyfriend for supporting you.
This is the unfortunate thing about Caitlin. And you would think that there would be an age cap on it, but this is one of these cases that I don't think it is, that there are women of all ages, and I probably actually, even the older the woman is, it might even be a little bit more severe because she feels like she's running out of time, but that will forgo all their hopes and dreams and anything that they wanted to do on their career for a man.
Yeah.
What is it? Is the dick that
feel
good?
Like that is, I feel like that is a thing.
No, it's okay. Not. It's so. Okay. It's the way that we are brought up to be told that like the most important thing is like a man to love and take care of you.
Yeah.
Yep. And then there's a show on Netflix. It's called Sex Life, but I mean, it's not just about that. It's about relationships, but the show is called Sex Life. And there is a character in the second season. She really, her arc and how she talks about it. And she's like, why is it the woman that always has to compromise to follow the man around so you can elevate in your career while my career is suffering? Like, if you want to be with me, why can't you make some sacrifices to be with me? Why is it always just expected for the woman to make the sacrifice? And it is.
Yeah. And I think, right. I think that's fair, because for me, it's like Caitlin is just not the person. It's like her whole character is about being ambitious. And the fact that like she ultimately really will sacrifice everything she's been invested a year in, because Joey has finally kind of made a definitive, like in her mind, made a move that cements their future in a way that she doesn't want to pass up. Like for me, it feels like she's like, okay, if you leave my sight, then this is going to go away.
Right. There's so much unnecessary drama. It's like in Holiday when they had to like, they had to catch her before she went to Montreal for 48 hours.
Right. To let her know that Joey chose to reassure her. She needs a lot of reassurance. And I mean, relatable. That's 100% a valid need in a relationship, to be reassured and reaffirmed. But I think that where she messes up is she is misconstruing Joey wanting her to go and fulfill herself as, oh, you're rejecting me. You want me far away from you. And that must mean you don't actually love me.
I feel like that it's an insecurity.
It is. But she, yeah. To give that context, he cheated on her before. She has yeah. that insecurity.
That's what she's talking about when yeah. she's like, but, you've made promises before.
These are the things
right.
that I feel like happen in relationships. If someone cheats on you and you choose to forgive them and stay with them, then you have to let, and I know it's way easier said than done.
Right. But yeah, you have to let that. You've forgiven
let,
that.
Well, let
not
that
forgive
be.
It, but I mean, not, well, not right. Well, you so, can't okay, so, hold it over their you, head every you, 10
you,
minutes.
Yeah, you forgive it, but you don't forget it. And like you just said, you don't hold it over everything that they do because it's in the past and you chose to forgive them. So let's just move forward. But if you I keep think... always going back, oh, well, you cheated on me. Then it's like, why'd
you stay
and stay with me? If for the rest of our relationship life, anything that comes up, any argument or any this, that, or that, you're going to bring that up.
So I think a thing that is important about forgiveness that I think people don't always acknowledge is that, especially like you're talking about like a trauma. Because being cheated on is absolutely traumatic and it's a violation of trust and all of that. Like, and trauma is weird. Memory is weird. Emotions are weird. Like, it doesn't mean that there can't ever be a time where you're upset by it again. Yeah. Like, you can't choose, you certainly can't use it as a weapon. And you right. can't choose to, like, sit in that feeling.
Yes.
But if you need to feel it sometimes, like, oh, yeah. and you need yeah. to either be, like, with any, you know, not just with cheating, with anything you could be forgiving, like, you need to either be able to, like, step away until you've worked through that, mm-hmm. or have a healthy dialogue to be like, hey, this is in the forefront of my mind today, and I need to, like,
right.
make you aware of that. So that mm-hmm. I can move past it, you know?
A dialogue but, that Caitlin's like not capable of having.
No. Caitlin's all that a child. Is
absolutely true. But I just feel like in this circumstance, girl, he's encouraging your career. He's not telling you to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, he's displaying like, a lot of healthy behavior. And I think right. that that's, he's, yeah.
I would look at him kind of shady if he didn't want her to go because, like, why don't you want her to go? And from what I get from it, it was a project that she was working on for a really long time.
Yeah.
I and don't this know is the culminate. It sounds like it was something they submitted for and then didn't hear year. Back about for a
they
year.
They did. That doesn't a year. Mean, they did.
So, like, I don't think that she was, like, actively working on it.
But no, still, but it was still something that she put out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And
no, I mean, sometimes really like Joey in this episode.
What
he
happens
don't always
in entertainment things, which I'm gonna put her in entertainment things. It takes a long time for projects to get greenlit. You could be mm-hmm. working on something and do a pitch on it, and then here 6 months later, okay, yeah, we like your pitch.
Yeah,
you know, like stuff, and it can
and
move.
Gotta be ready to go on a flight.
And it can that take. Night to Geneva. And I'm saying 6 months is being generous. It could be a year, 2 years, right. year, and you haven't heard nothing. And you're just thinking, okay, it's done and over. I haven't heard nothing, and out of the blue, oh hey, yeah, remember this? Yeah, we're greenlit. Are you ready? And you're like, well, what?
Yeah,
but I mean, that's just the nature of. The industry and for me I loved to show a sign that he I don't know all the other prior things but a healthy mm-hmm. sign for him is that his first initial reaction was congratulations and we,
right let's go
we,
pack your stuff
we like it wasn't oh
right like really you're, then, now I just asked like, you to move in now yeah
right
and like you can see when she gets in the car like yeah he's sad of course he doesn't like want you to go he
no.
would love for you to be able to stay
right
but like
but he will
and
be
you
here.
Can see when she walks away to get into the cab you see in his face like oh man, this is
yeah,
gonna suck.
Yeah, of course he's sad,
but
see,
And Pat did a really good job with his face acting there.
He did.
This is another thing people confuse. I always say love has many like cousins that want to be love, but it's not love.
Yeah.
Love's passion, lust, obsession, infatuation, all those things pose as love, but isn't love for the simple reason love is selfless. Yes. And those emotions are selfish.
Right. So for Joey and Caitlin, I've always felt like she is just, she has an insecure attachment to him because of what happened prior in their relationship. And Joey never felt that way. Joey never had to be unstable because he was the one making things unstable. He was the bearer of the chaos. So he never had to deal with the emotions that he was causing Caitlin. And so he does not really, it didn't take a lot for him to settle into the routine of their relationship and to realize that she's not going anywhere, that she wants to be with him. It does, because he doesn't have that trauma, but she does. And that's why he's able to be so solid for her, because he was the cheater.
That's true.
He is the one who is like, okay, I'm ready now. I have a daughter. Okay, I know what it means to be stable.
Caitlin.
I am, because I don't like Caitlin, but I do understand what it means to be like, are you going to catch me this time? If I fall for you, are you going to catch me this time? Or you're going to let me fall on my face again?
That's fair.
And I don't think that she's like the bad person in this episode because she's having emotional reactions to him. Not, it's like, to her it's like, do you care whether I'm here or not? Like, do you actually care? Because she has had him show indifference to her before.
Okay, yeah, that's, you know, fair. What that, all right, you know what, all fair, right, fair, okay,
like I don't like this girl, I don't like her, but I have to dig deeper. I have to dig deeper into her emotions, and it's only rooted in, if somebody has let me fall before, if somebody has made me feel like my presence does not change whether or not how they move and how they treat, you know, like, I am going to question, what's different this time? Is it different this time?
That it is true. But I feel like, but if she was going to do that, I'm just not going to walk away in the restaurant. You know, I might be that one to cause a scene if it was going to be like that.
She's hurt. Yeah.
You just want to let me go, like, just like that. Like, I mean, if
I think she's a Pisces, right?
She's a March Pisces.
She's gonna run away and cry.
That's,
she's not
part of why, no, Caitlin.
No,
is because
if you were. I just feel like, no. That, that this is where I feel like the after school special part comes in, more or less, not the 90210 part. Because in the 90210, there would have been a confrontation at the restaurant. The table would have got flipped over. Like, what you mean? Like, it would have been like a whole drama, like, production.
It reminds me of that moment in Holiday where she slips the note in the under Joey's door or in the mailbox, and then she breaks in, and then Craig finds the note, and she's like, "Give it to me, Craig." And he's like, "What?" She's like, "Give it to me." And she snatches it and goes outside and cries.
She's just
like, that's
so
what it, that's what it reminds me of. She's going outside to cry. She's bawling outside that restaurant.
No. And I can relate to her like that. When I get really stressed in certain situations like this, like, I'm a crier.
Yeah, I cry too. But I don't like anybody to see me cry.
There was a situation that I was in LA that it was more beneficial for me to have been the crier, because if I took on more of my dad's personality, then cops would have been caught, and it just would have been a whole, like, just not
cry.
Good. So I'm good that I was there, but I did not hide, because I still had stuff to say in my frustration. Like, look, you told me that I could do this, this, and that, and then now you want to back out. What am I going to do? Yeah, and I stood there, I cried like a little bitch. But
You articulated yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah. You know, if there's one thing I'm going to do, it's cry.
It's cry.
Doesn't and really matter the situation.
I tend to cry when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, yep. You know, just
which is so myriad hard because you're like, please take me seriously.
Please take me seriously right? While I'm sobbing.
I'm crying, but don't be serious here. Listen to me. But yeah, no, I'm yeah, totally. No.
Same.
When I get super...
overcome. No, I think that's what I'm feeling. Like this girl's overcome and she's like, you know what? I'm gonna go have a good long cry about this outside. And you're not gonna watch me cry, sir. You're gonna be confused. You're gonna have to track me down.
I'm a cry and you're gonna listen to my words in between the crying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Well, that's me too. I feel like if I love you though, if we're in a relationship, you're gonna get all of my, you're gonna get everything. Best believe this girl that I'm with right now, this young lady, she gets it all. And she'd be like, what? Confused, personally victimized, what? But she gets everything.
I mean, if I said this is more like
what? Me? Huh?
More of the watered down version of what could have happened, because you know some personality types, well then you know you have the one, okay cool, well I'm gone then, since you don't care if I'm here anyway, then my mind I'll just go pack my bags and bounce, bye. Like, you know, you have those women that where it's not crying, it's just anger. It's like, well fuck you then.
Yeah. It's so, Caitlyn's definitely, she's always been the muted sort of personality, so I get why she does not react that way.
And she's, it took traumatized. Him coming to her, well, what's wrong? And you can tell that their relationship,
something. That's, that because, was our meme this past week.
Because most, some dudes would have been like, well, all right then, well, never mind then. Go, girl.
Wait, that's why our meme is so perfect. We had a meme, our caption contest winner this past week did a caption, and it's Joey doing a handstand, and Caitlyn standing right there, and the caption is Joey bending over backwards for Caitlyn as usual. And
oh, damn.
Yeah. But like, it's chef's kiss in relation to this conversation, because that's what Joey does, unfortunately.
He really does.
If she had to come to him, it would never happen. So she wouldn't come to him. She would have just gotten that cab.
She just would have got on the plane and that would have been the end of it. But, you know.
Yeah.
But that's also a thing in a relationship. Somebody has to be able to bend or to compromise, or, you know, you have two hard-headed, stubborn people, then...
Yeah.
It's just not good.
That's why they've worked up until this. And I say work tentatively, as in they've made it work. They are just, I find overall that they peaked in high school and they weren't even that good in high school, and that they should kind of just cut their losses. Are they a cute couple? No. One of our previous guests literally thought that they were brother and sister.
Damn.
Did you get those vibes? I don't think so, because they were much more affectionate in this episode. They were much more affectionate in this episode, and it was clear.
I mean,
their relationship was more clear.
They were kissing and stuff, and at the end, when they came,
brother and sister vibes.
I did not get brother and sister vibes.
The previous episode that Chris viewed probably did. I get why
she's like, he's hurt his back and she's taking care of him.
And she's taking care of him. Yeah. Yeah.
If his back is all hurt, I mean, there's not too much you can.
It's like the maturity. Okay. It's the maturity politics. That's Caitlyn's arc this season. Is like, is she mature enough to be in a relationship with someone who has a child and who's an adultier adult than her? And the answer is firmly no, but for some reason
they're gonna force it out for another
they're gonna
season
force
or
it
two.
Spoiler alert, they are not done, so
they never give up.
Can we please stop talking about them right, like,
I'm ready to move to the B plot.
I was like, be potting, and see, this is another where the after school special comes in, where I'm just like, I know that it was an ongoing thing, you know, with the laptop, but the fact that the truth comes out, and I feel like he was just so calm about it, when I don't know how I would have reacted to that, but I do know some choice words would have came out my mouth.
Snake is from the streets. I would have definitely
thought about failing that kid.
Literally, right? Snake is from the streets. He looks like he wants to box.
I don't think I would have done it, but I would have thought about it.
But did you see that look that he gave Sean? Did you see that look? He did
such a good job. Stefan killed that. Stefan,
yeah, he looks so pissed off. As soon as he finds out, he's like, oh, fuck you.
Fuck you. He really held his composure. Like, I'd have been like, yeah.
It's a lot. He definitely, but I think that's the thing about Sean that I always loved, even though I always loved Sean as a standalone character, because I do think they give him a lot to do and he works through it and comes out gracefully most of the time. But I don't like him with Emma. That's not the point. Or fucking Ellie. It's not about the relationship.
You know what? It's not about the relationship.
I think with him and Emma is they kind of paint him as the bad boy, and it's like the bad boy gets with the good girl.
Yeah.
There's this dynamic of
he's never gonna be good enough for her.
For her.
Right. Even though like,
or he's so lucky to have got her and she saved him or whatever.
And when, I don't buy it. When I don't actually fucking buy it.
She should be lucky.
And I mean Ellie and him are like Wonder Bread.
I will say I don't like him and Ellie.
I don't like him and Ellie.
I did have in my notes when he comes back into the dance after talking to Snake and she comes over to him and like hugs him.
Yes.
My note was, I don't like Ellie and Sean, but there is something cute about Ellie with Sean,
There is something cute. I think because what they start to do, notice how they, but the thing why it's not authentic is because they did this when she was taking pictures. In the second season, right around the time she got introduced, they had her in a leather jacket. And that's more of Sean's type of alternative. Whereas her type of alternative was the mesh tops and fucking safety pins and bondage gear. And just, it's way more.
Like, girl is wearing a human dog collar to school.
Right. And that's not Sean. Sean is literally, it's like he's more of a greaser type. But yeah, that's why. They look better together this episode because of the way they dress Ellie. They just try to throw that leather jacket over her plaid skirt and they're like, they look good together, which they do. But I appreciate Sean in this episode. I really do.
For him coming clean, yes, because Snakes is really trying to help him out. And, you know, guilt. And so he finally comes clean. But this is the thing where it gets a little, the after school, especially part, is because they don't even have a conversation as to why. Like, okay, if I'm going to forgive you, you wanted to get back at Emma. No, okay. Like, it can't be that simple.
So for me, the way that I read the situation is him being like, you know, when someone's like, don't make excuses. Like, I think not that context wouldn't have been helpful, but the truth is he really did just steal it to get back at Emma. Like there was no other nuance to the situation. He knew that stealing that laptop, he knew Emma would know and that Emma wouldn't be able to prove it. Eventually,
or that realized she didn't know. Or that sure, she would figure.
Yeah, she would suspect, and it would drive her crazy. And he did that because they were actively fucking with each other at that time.
Fair, but still, but then in actuality, you want to look on the flip side of it. It's actually kind of good he stole that laptop, and I'm going to say that because you know how much money he saved him in labor. Way more than that laptop.
I'm done.
Right? He said weeks. And school is over.
Yeah.
You've got time.
Yeah. How hard it is to get to the gasket in a car. You got to take the whole engine apart. Like,
oh, geez. I didn't know that.
He really saved him like way more than what that laptop is worth. Like, all, and all he had to do was buy the part.
Right, a lot and parts of times, at this time weren't expensive, I'm sure.
And a lot of times with cars getting fixed, what's costly is not necessarily the part, it's the labor. Like, yeah. I believe the gasket is something that's really, like, deep in the engine, why it would take him a couple weeks to fix it. Because yeah. I think, I'm not sure, because, you know, I'm not the car expert, but I do believe it's one of those parts where you really have to go in the engine to get to it to fix it. And it was like, okay, you have to think about it that way. It's like, look, man,
you saved me, yeah, in the long run.
Never admit it to him, never verbalize it, but like, damn, I'm kind of glad he stole that laptop, because, boy, he saved me in some labor costs. Like, I mean, that easily could have been a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
That's true. It says that to replace a head gasket is like $1,000 to $2,000.
Ooh, just for that. And he said that wasn't, he's got major problems.
Yeah, his there was starter, something else wrong with it. Yes,
I heard starter. That his starter was messed up. I feel like
your starter's not that hard.
Your yeah, starter's not think, that hard, but if you replace it, I'm not sure. But like, it's not like it's one thing. He's got other issues. And he said he's got coolant on his hands as well. So that's...
Right, so that's the air conditioning.
There's oil and coolant all over my hands. So it's like...
So that's when your shit's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's the air conditioning. Like I said, it'll take him a couple weeks. That means that's some major work.
He's low key rebuilding your engine. The only thing he's not touching is the fucking transmission.
So
yeah,
it sounds like he saved him some. You're right, some ducats.
if he wanted to look after he got past his madness or whatever, and it'd be like, damn. I can get away, let's just say that the parts were $500. But in actuality, if he'd have took that to a mechanic could have easily came back and been like, yeah, like $2,500, $3,000. And it's like, how much was that laptop worth?
Maybe $1,500, $1,600. I don't know. I don't know for the time. Alienware. Is probably it's one of those
that
gamer
was
laptops,
an expensive laptop right? At those the time,
maybe
yeah.
So let's say maybe $2,200, $2,200 to $2,500. That's still a lot of money to like in repairs for your car, separate from that expense. So
yeah, I mean, and I'm kind of like lowballing it.
If there were several things that would have taken weeks, I'm sure they can charge you for the fact that you're taking up space. And it takes them weeks to, like, the labor cost of them having to work on it for weeks at a time.
Yeah, right. But when you
sounds
have something
like a lot.
Where they actually have to take the engine apart and then put the engine back together. I can't imagine how long that would take.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it's a commitment that Sean is willing to make to get good with Mr. Simpson. And I just love that. I said in my notes, like, I didn't realize how much I needed these two in so many scenes together. I love
the
way they act. I love the way, and even I think, cause I skipped ahead, you know, watching, and I see what happens in the future, with when, you know, Sean, spoiler alert, comes back from the military and everything. There are, and those moments warm me. They have a great arc when Sean comes back from the military that reminds me of this. Where their relationship pushes boundaries and he has to like let him know like it's, you know, it's fine.
Is it when Sean comes back or is it before Sean goes? Because does Sean ever
so
come
he comes back
after
from,
he leaves?
He comes back from
comes
basic
back from,
training.
Like, basic, okay.
Basic, and then he's about to ship out to the actual thing. And he leaves his stuff with them. He's like, if I come back, I guess this is where I want to come back to. So he leaves some stuff with them before he shifts out. Ships out officially.
I like too that like Snake doesn't right away be like, yeah, fine, we can do this. Like he's like, you know, right. Sean's like, I want to help, and he's like, so,
right,
pretty
so.
Much,
yeah, like and.
and then yeah no
you
and then that
my
moment
laptop, what you want.
Well, and it's so fucked up. The man
it
has
is
cancer.
Fucked up. I mean, depending upon where he went to school, that would have been a beatdown.
He went to school at Degrassi.
All teachers are not.
He's lucky it was season three. Season four, he might have been shot.
season 4 might have been shot up. Yeah, it's definitely like they carry the episode for me. Obviously, though, it is the A plot, it's very weak. This is the plot for me that makes me feel like,
yeah,
this is Degrassi. You know, like more than Caitlin and Joey. Obviously, I just think the heart of the just Snake really showing actual emotion. Like, you hurt me. What kind of person does, not even student, no, what kind of person? Like, they are looking at each other as, he's looking at him as an equal, in a sense. Like, what, you had the power to fuck me up in this way. What kind of person does that? Like, it's a very, like, real conversation that I can imagine even a teacher in the same position having with their student. Like,
well, because I feel like because their relationship is beyond teacher student.
Yeah,
it does eclipse. But I think he has that with a number of students.
And you would be disappointed in any student.
I feel like
the theft is bad enough, but knowing that this teacher got this new laptop because he has fucking cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a teacher and his wife's a hairdresser. It's not like they've got
money, they're not rolling in dough.
Yeah.
Like, it is a super fucked up thing to have done. It's
fucked up.
And the fact that he's a good teacher, because, you know, all teachers aren't created equally, but he's a teacher that's actually invested in his kids. Quan's
laptop.
Quan would have fucked his life up.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have blamed him as much if he stole Quan's laptop.
Low key, he might have been justified in that. Even though there was some cancer with there too. Her husband had cancer. Leave that shit at the door, Quan. Okay.
I feel you. And also it's hard.
But that's why she's so fucking petty all the time.
Well, her husband doesn't have cancer anymore, and she's still
a bitch. Yeah, no, it's okay, definitely...
That's just some people's personality.
That's why she's F them kids all the way. I just love Snake and Sean, and I love the fact that they have such a strong relationship.
Snake loves Sean.
He loves Sean independent of...
It's like if it had just been Jay, it wouldn't have hurt him as much.
I brought up the point that it wasn't just a teacher.
Yeah, that he loves. He spent time in his house. He knows Sean's hardships. They've had a relationship.
It's more, and it's like, I welcomed you in my home.
Yeah, and I cared about you like you were my own child.
I cared about you. I tried to help you. I tried to support you. I tried to do everything I could to help you, and this is how you do me. See, this is what turns people bitter.
We're lucky that Snakey Boy is reaffirmed that he is doing the right thing and being a good teacher and not a piece of shit.
Yes, he's definitely the good guy character.
He's so like emotionally mature too, because he's like. Snake's a good role model because he works through that anger and that disappointment real fucking fast. I mean, in part because they only have 22 minutes to tell the story,
but he also
smile to Sean as he's walking out of the school.
I love it. I live for
and
it.
And Sean and Daniel Clark.
It's so good. Right. Like the Daniel winning Clark, smile is beautiful.
He's like, beaming.
I just think it's the
unspoken communication that the actors pull off well. That, I mean, it's true to life.
A
lot can be said, you know, in that smile. Smiles like, we're good.
We're good, right? And he feels like the victory from that. I think that one of the things that, like we were saying, boundaries, and that, like, just the fact that Snake is like, once he finds out what Sean did, he's like, you need to go. Because I'm not going to be the teacher the person that I want to be to you right now, and you need to go. I don't have anything else to say.
If he would have stole that laptop. I respect it
all throughout the episode.
Let's say East Side High. Oh, it had gone down.
Not East Side High. Yeah. It's very much that I think their relationship is stronger through this because of the, and like, that's just Sean though. He's like, I need to make this commitment to you to fix our relationship because it means something to me. And I love it. I love it so much. It warms my heart. Yeah, I feel
like out of all these storylines, that's probably the best one.
Oh, hands down.
Because what the fuck is, what are we going to talk about with the A-plot? Other than the comeuppance of the A-plot.
You know what makes me mad about the A-plot, though, is like, I feel like we get a lot of Hazel without getting any real depth, and it's frustrating because, like, I love so much of what I see of Hazel. Other than her style in the first scene.
Can we talk about the fact you don't like her style in the first scene? Can we talk about the bangs? The fact that she is the only one who brought money.
Right.
The fact that she is a real one and the only one who brought, I don't care if my friends tell me, I got this whole dinner. You don't have to put any, you don't even worry about the tip. I'm still bringing money. I don't care how old I am.
And this is my thing. Did Jimmy not tell them where they were going?
He told. I'm sure if he didn't tell
them. That was another thing that didn't track. If Jimmy told them where they were going,
they'd be like, why were they surprised? Right. Why didn't they say it?
We can't go there. And they're like, because we owe some money there.
I like how Jimmy is like, Spinner, loan me $40.
And
like,
why would it be a loan? Why wouldn't it just be, give me $40 because you suck and skipped out on your lunch?
Right. That too.
Paige, even though give me $40. It was extenuating circumstances, but give me $40. Give me $40.
Why was he even expecting Spinner to have it? Spinner didn't have the money in the first place to pay for the meals. What made you think that he was going to have it now? One. And then two, I don't think that I would, knowing that they had skipped out, I don't even know if I would want to eat there with that waiter, because people are shiesty as hell. And there's certain people that you do not want to piss off, and your waiter is one of them, because depending upon the type of person you got as your waiter, they will fuck with your food. And I'm like, look, you done skipped out on him, and now I'm supposed to trust that he's not going to do nothing to our food and my food just because I'm guilty by association because I'm here with you?
To be fair to Spinner and Paige, they did not intentionally skip out on their waiter.
They didn't, but
they had skipped school, and their principal was there having lunch. And okay, they were like,
But I think that's a classy way to handle it on the waiter's part. It's like, nah, fuck you. Like, I'm going to just get y'all where it hurts, your pockets, on prom night. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, you came back? You came back. Here are those three lunches you skipped out on. I'm just going to put them on the bill. And what are you going to say? You that's what you ate.
Right.
That is the classiest way to resolve a situation.
Don't forget to tip.
Okay,
don't forget to tip, honey.
Everybody ain't classy.
But him, because he was like, that's all he needed was the money from their lunches. He does not need to tamper with their food. He needs the money.
I mean,
because he was paying for that out of his wages.
And I know some people that will fuck with the food and be like, yeah, and I'm going to charge you for it. And you better tip me. Because
I hope I've never eaten at any of these people's establishments.
They have all those caught on camera things where you see them people at restaurants fucking with people's food. They will fuck with people's food just because they're just a messed up person. Maybe I watch them shows and make sure I don't even want to go out and eat anymore. But you know, he did handle it classy, but I would have been like, you owe them money? Okay, well then maybe we need to pay them first, but you ain't got no money. I don't know how this I don't know. If I'm like, I wouldn't even have walked in.
I don't think they should have walked in either.
You know where you're at. You knew what happened, intentional or not. You done skipped out.
Yeah.
And you know, waiters don't make that much. Their tips are, that is their bread and butter. And you know you skipped out. They're bold for even walking in. And I'm like, nah, we cannot eat here. Like, we need to reroute and go somewhere else. I don't know.
They should have.
Also, why are they like at dinner when the dance is like already late?
I was thinking that. Like, how fashionably late are y'all trying to be? You're trying to miss the damn dance?
They're hella late. And you know what? I was feeling a little something watching it because for my 12th grade senior prom, our limo never showed up.
Really?
So. Maybe limo driver got arrested for unpaid parking tickets.
I don't know what happened, why it didn't show up. I don't know why we entrusted John to do that.
Oh my gosh.
But... So I was like, well, at least their limo showed up.
Can I say it's such a small thing, but I feel like it's such a like indicator of who Hazel is as a person. The fact that she called the limo driver by his name. Mm-hmm. As he's like getting arrested and being like, I'll get the cops to give you a ride to prom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a level of respect for service industry folk, you know.
Yes,
service industry people put up with a lot.
They do,
and so many people think they're above them, and like I don't even necessarily like, shout like
out to all the service industry peeps that don't be flashing on people, because I would not blame you.
I feel like what I lived for in the A plot only was Billy Ray Cyrus, and that was it for me. Did I like the fact? Did I understand? Well, not even understand. Do I think that such a dance would happen today? I do, but do I think that people would actively be trying to do dances that are in relation to the music they're doing? I don't. I think that it was a little weird that everybody was trying to do like Bollywood moves very badly to this music, and especially Emma really stood out to me as like, what Emma are was you trying doing so
hard? And I feel like on one hand she gets an A for effort, but on the other hand
she gets
an
A for effort,
but on the other hand, like, Bollywood, it's very very specific with their hand gestures, and each hand gesture I believe is like an animal, like whatever, like what is very very specific. So I feel like I give them kudos for, you know, diversity and trying, you know, Marco trying to step outside the box and do something different. But at the same time, like,
you're low key mocking it.
Where are there any Indians in your school? Mm.
Those two girls dancing at one point.
I was gonna say those two girls who literally look like they're those like go-go dancers. They look like high school go-go dancers. Like they look like they were maybe instructed to hired and instructed to dance in the middle of the area.
Right. Yes. Yes. That one girl.
They don't look like students.
She looked like a belly dancer trying to come out and do whatever she was trying to do, but. Yeah,
I will say, like, everybody did look cute.
Everyone
Hazel
looked cute.
And Paige had amazing makeup.
I love their makeup and their head jewelry. I think
but it
that
is really a thing where it's a fine line between
definitely a fine line
mocking and like what's the mocking
cultural appreciation, cultural
yes,
appropriation,
cultural appreciation,
a cultural
slash
appreciation.
Mocking. It'd be like the kind of thing, okay, we're having a hip-hop party and nobody there is black or any ethnicity.
Yeah, right.
Besides, you know, Caucasian. You're like...
Yeah, right. It's definitely like,
It's a fine, line to walk.
And Marco's running around. I think he's clearly supposed to be, like, a lover of all things, like, South Asian, like, Bollywood, like that sort of vibe. I think he's supposed to be a lover of that, and that's why he's was the one who wanted this theme. But can we talk about the poster? Because we only see this screensaver in the B plot with
Sean.
We've seen
it for like the last few episodes, though.
Girl,
it's been
I
in
haven't
the
seen it. And that, this is the first time I've noticed it. Okay, so if I had seen it in the other episodes, which I did not notice.
It's the poster that he shows in It's Raining Men.
Oh, right. No, I am wrong. I did see
that. And then it's in the
background
after that.
It's just not a good poster, primarily because Ellie is the Bollywood, the face of Bollywood.
Yeah.
Ellie Nash. Ginger Ellie Nash.
White as snow, Ellie Nash.
And I mean, you couldn't find anybody else in Degrassi to fulfill that, like, model.
No, because she's his bestie.
Clearly, she was just there. Just throw the... Yeah.
You couldn't use anybody, like, brown?
Anyone brown would have been nice.
A hint?
No, it's just... It's definitely, that raised eyebrows to me, and I did not, you know, it's fine. I think that maybe.
But I feel like for the intents purposes for the show and, you know, it being a teen show, blah, 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 like.
Yeah.
For, it's just, you know, if you examine it, you're like, because
it's
outside they had rock music.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess speaking of rock music, do we have anything else we want to say about the A plot? How do we feel? What else?
I mean, for me, it's still like, and then with everything going on, I was like, baby Drake.
I like that we get some Jimmy and Hazel. Yeah. I like their relationship, but every time I get Hazel, I also feel so robbed because I think like. After her one episode where she's in the forefront, I feel like everything we get from Hazel is so good. Hazel is kind and understanding and patient and friendly and loyal and supportive. And like, we get these little glimpses that I love. I loved her in this episode, but I also hated that, like, you know, there's a degree to which, like, the A plot is Jimmy's trying to, like, show Hazel he can do it right.
Yeah.
And she still just feels like a side character.
She does still feel like a side character.
Really frustrating.
Yeah. I feel like
he almost feels like a side character.
Yeah, I feel like didn't see him as the side character. I felt like he was the one that was driving all the action, and he was just doing it for her, and she was just kind of there because she didn't oppose.
Hazel is always just kind of there.
She is.
She didn't oppose. She didn't complain. She didn't do anything, and she just said, "I just want to be with you," and it's like. So it was really Jimmy trying to drive. I felt like it really wasn't about them as a couple. It was just about Jimmy trying to show Hazel that he could do everything right. And it was more focused on Jimmy than Hazel.
Which is Hazel was not any plot that Hazel
was there. She's the prop. She's not the actual character. She's not driving anything. She's not... She may be a quote unquote motivation for the main character who's driving the plot's actions. No,
and then Hazel was the only one with money.
That's why I said Hazel only. Why are you burying this character when she is the only one who she has to be the solution? She is not a character. She is a plot device. They use her where they see fit. They don't have any
desire
to flesh her out as a real character.
Avis, you done hit that on a plot device. Yep.
Yeah, we know this is not new. This is not new, unfortunately.
She totally is. She's not really a character.
She's not.
She's a device. For Jimmy's motivation. That's it.
Spoiler alert, her boyfriend gets shot and we don't ever get
her feelings. We don't really get any to talk about
when he goes in he's paralyzed. Spoiler alert, but when he's paralyzed.
Yeah. It feels like we could have at least gotten one measly B plot or something checking in with Hazel, because, you know, we would. I always wondered how Hazel fucking felt about that. All we got was when they told her that he was shot. We get her in the hospital and then we get the aftermath. We don't get and we get Jimmy's aftermath. We don't get Hazel's aftermath.
Or do you really get...
We don't really get Jimmy's aftermath, honestly. It's not as... Really, yeah.
I don't really know, but, like, so they don't even go into her reaction as to having a boyfriend, you know, that is in a wheelchair or paralyzed or whatever Jimmy's situation was.
No.
Or, I mean, it's kind of obvious how Jimmy would feel about that, but...
Yeah, we get more. He obviously gets a little bit. He gets his erectile dysfunction storylines. He gets his not feeling at like has to let go of his dream storyline because he can't walk anymore.
So then, it's easy to say then Hazel isn't a main character. She's like a sub character.
Yeah, she's a sub character.
Yeah, but she's present in so many plots. She should be a main character.
She should be a main character,
but she's not. And it's infuriating that she's not.
You know what? It kind of seems like she's Donna in 90210 in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's so crucial to so many plots, too.
Yeah.
She's that character. She's that background character that is always there and always kind of tangled up and stuff, but the plots never really are around them. They're just someone that's just there.
Right.
And happens to be a part of stuff that is there, obviously is present, but she's always like, she's the mashed potato. She ain't ever the fried chicken.
I like mashed potatoes, but
she
yes.
She does get to be the jerk chicken one time, but it emphasis she... on the jerk.
I mean, because, you know what? She's also, I would say that, and it's just, and Saved by the Bell, she's Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another minority.
Like, she has her one episode, only episode that I could think of, is when they're in high school, and she gets with Zach. And then it's that one episode, and then you never see them together as a couple. It never goes any further than that episode. But that is the only time that I can remember there actually being an episode around Lisa.
Yeah.
Hayes only gets that one episode.
Yeah. I could be wrong, because, you know, Saved by the Bell got a lot of episodes.
Yeah, they got a lot of episodes,
but
I don't
remember any other episode that actually revolved around Lisa. She was just that side person, because it was always about Kelly.
It's always about Paige, and that is what Hazel is there to prop up Paige. Or she's there to prop up, or she's there to foil Paige, or she's there to challenge Paige. She's not there to be her own character. We don't really get what it's similar to another character that we just blackholed not too long ago, Terry. Do you remember Terry, Jamie?
No, but what season was Terry?
She's one in and season two she, and one three. And two and three. She was the fat girl.
Who was put in a coma by
her boyfriend at the time. Well, he wasn't even her boyfriend. He was her former boyfriend. They weren't together at that time, but yeah.
Right, because didn't she break up with him?
She broke up with him, and then they were paired together on a school assignment.
And they started, like, hanging out,
and then he pushed her, and she fell into a cinder block, and then she's quietly exited from the show. But I felt like it's so clear that the show never really valued her as a character, because she similarly got two plots. She got two episodes, but she still,
well,
we don't get a lot of,
she did get her abuse and her,
well, technically, right, she got coma. Her but non-abuse it, she outside of her coma or her domestic violence storyline, she got two other storylines, but she's still, we don't get a lot of things for her point of view. Right. They're both about her being fat, but we don't get a lot of her feelings, her point of view on things. We get her, especially when she's hurt, we get all of that reaction through Paige and Spinner. We don't get it through Terry. We don't ever really understand how Terry felt. That's just a question mark. We can assume, but we are getting all of that through Paige and Spinner because they played some sort of role in what happened and they feel responsible. So that is what we focus on in that versus her feelings.
Terry just sounds like another device person.
That's exactly what Terry
or
is.
Or a way to deal with being plus size, fat, whatever, voluptuous, whatever people want to call it. I don't know.
Having body image issues.
So she was just a device to show that issue instead of giving her a character with thoughts, feelings, emotions, and everything behind what it feels, what it genuinely feels like to be a person or, you know, a human attached to in that situation.
Yeah.
So when they don't, when there's shows where it's not, where they want to discuss something, but they don't want to attach a human to it because they're so focused on what they want to discuss instead of giving human.
There's a lot I love about Degrassi, and even for as much like diversity and casting as you can technically say they have, representation is an area that's pretty lacking.
Right, definitely. Especially when you talk about a characters like Hazel and Terry that people love so much and wish that they were given a chance to be characters like Paige and Spinner. You know how Paige and Spinner feel about a number of topics because not only do we get to experience that with them, but their feelings on different subjects and how they'll react to things are nuanced. They're not a character who is okay. They're all like Terry is meek and she's all, normally going to respond to things meekly because that's just the only real emotion they give her. And I mean, honestly, with Hazel, she's going to react based on how they need her to react that week. You know, they don't spend any real time thinking about who is Hazel and what is she bringing to the table here. And that is where a lot of it falls to the wayside about her character because it's not who is she, it's who is she this week. And it really sucks.
You know,
those are device characters that really just aren't there, you know, for anything except plot wise, which when you just use somebody as a device and not as a character, the plot's always going to end up lacking anyway.
Yeah. That's why they needed that the C plot in this episode, because if it was just the A and the B plot, it wouldn't have been able to carry it.
Nope.
Unfortunately, you need Caitlin and Joey to take up their little 5 minutes of time in the episode to offset what I do like the foursome of Jimmy, Hazel, Paige, and Spinner. We know who the stars of the show are. And it's just obvious. And it makes you, even though, you know, Jimmy does get more of a character, he is still a couple steps away from being similarly a device. I think that because he's the kid that gets shot, people want to think that makes him dynamic, but like a lot of it
for the most part,
his arc is Spinner reacted. Like Spinner gets a lot of development off of the shooting.
Jimmy's
not a person. I feel like he's another background person that may get his shining moments like in this episode.
He's more of a character than Hazel.
Well, but he's still not.
She just feels like a device from what it sounds like. She's a background character that is there, or even just to show, okay, here's a black female character in our show.
Yeah, the token. She's not, she's underutilized and Jimmy is more utilized, but it's still not. I still want so much more from Hazel, and I don't get it.
So for me, most of the shots fired were between Jimmy and Spinner.
Let's hop into our segments then. think we're good on the A plot. We can hop into.
Do we want to start with Shots Fired? We usually start with Music Corner, but we can usually start with Music
Corner. We can shake it up, yeah.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots Fired.
Did you write down the, like, the actual dialogue?
Oh, no, I didn't actually write it down.
Okay. We'll go through ours then.
Probably, yeah.
All right, I have 8, Caroline. How many do you have?
I have 8.
All right, so it's a likelihood that we probably have very similar.
Because I
8.
Feel like there weren't that many. I mean, outside of them, I didn't really catch any.
Do you want to just, so we'll go back and forth. You want to start first?
Yeah. I've got Paige saying, Hazel, want to switch boyfriends?
Yep, that's one of mine.
Yep.
I've got... Spinner saying, and you didn't check before you left the store? Sloppy work, dude.
Yep. Yep, same. I've got Spinner saying, yeah, dude, you look great. You'll be the prettiest girl at the semi-formal.
Yep. Most definitely.
I have no, ladies first.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I think it's similar, Duke to Spinner, watch your dress.
Yep.
Yep.
I do have Mr. Simpson just walking past Sean.
No, actually, though, I almost put that. I have Jimmy saying, we're going to pull up to the prom in a cop car, forget it. And I have Duke saying, well, son, you're already in deeper than a stable boy after a month of Sundays. I'd take the car.
Yes!
We have a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Which is Sean saying, pop the hood, I won't steal your engine.
Promise.
Yes.
Yo, actually, self-inflicted indeed. I've got Snake saying, help, it's a little bit late for that, isn't it? I was on death's door. Spike blows her savings on a laptop to cheer me up and you stole it. What kind of person does that?
Yeah, that was like... That was like bomb dropping, not even shots fired.
Yeah, I mean, but was that... I don't know, was that shots fired or was that me just telling you the truth?
What kind of person does that is the shots fired? I mean, it's a little late for that, isn't
it's
it?
True, it's still, but...
It's the truth, right. But it's but you, sometimes the shots that need to be the truth. The shots are truthful.
Iris, do you have any more?
Did you have a last one?
I have a last one. And it's Caitlin to Joey saying, you've made promises before, Joey. Promises you didn't keep. Also, I just remembered that I wanted to comment on who the fuck was like, yeah, kid, you can just sit on top of this fire truck.
True. Who greenlit that? Yeah. Craig just popped up in this episode, so we don't forget that Craig exists.
I could never forget that Craig exists.
Craig hasn't really had shit to do for a couple episodes. He's just laying low. But yeah.
See, I'm sure that it's probably one of the dilemmas of when you have a, for all intents and purposes, it's an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
And you only got a half hour. So how do you like rotate who has a storyline that week or not?
Yeah.
That's
I think they do it with darts personally. but yeah, no, Craig makes a brief appearance. I think my last shots fired was, I think we already talked about it in the deep dive, but just Snake's, Sean saying, I want to Mr. Simpson and Snake saying, so, and yeah, that's about it for me on the shots fired.
No, those sound like, I think you guys pretty much hit it.
Yeah. Oh, we have a black hole, Caroline?
We do. You barely notice her, but Kendra is there.
Oh, fucking Kendra is where?
We see her in the background at least twice with Toby. This is her last appearance.
They hid her from me. I'm going to go so back.
We pour one out and we say, swing low,
sweet chariot.
Come for the candy. We are not on the same tempo.
We are not. That's okay. the spirit is alive, unlike Kendra.
Do you feel like that's a cultural difference? Because I do. Across,
I think it's a cultural difference, totally, Caroline. So we've got pour one out for Kendra. Poured a 40 out for one of the homies. So sorry. Really did not notice that you were gone. Homies, and I'll be honest. No more. They've been phasing you out for a while now, honey. So sorry. But I guess we can talk about this this music and then cap it off with the fashion.
Yeah, I will just say that it made me super happy. Like, it came on and I was like, whatever it takes. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
like,
definitely
one of the more catchier opening credit songs that, like, don't get touched on enough. And this is actually, because I have so many versions of it, it is my second favorite version, and I actually had to go through the different seasons openings because I asked what season and I got crickets. But so it's actually my favorite is starting with season 6.
Yeah, you did ask me that, like, what? Yeah,
because I could
a bold claim,
like, yeah. That the only one I could remember of the one that I liked the most is that it was Marco walking away from the camera at the end. So I was like, okay, let me go through all these different seasons. I was like, fine. Which one? I was like, season 6.
Yeah, but, I remember you texting me that.
Yeah, when I heard that, whatever it takes. I'm like, it is so encouraging and so catchy.
And while I love that, Jamie, we are actually referring to the fact that this episode is titled The Power of Love. And there is a song called The Power of Love that we both listen to.
Okay, Celine Dion.
No.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, damn. Y'all took it back to the future.
Well, yeah, because all of these are 80s songs, so we have to look for the 80s songs.
Oh,
so there's
The Celine Dion might have been 80s, too.
92.
Which sucked, because last week when we did Our House, I totally wanted, like, what I had in my head all week was that
is
one.
A very, very, very fine house.
With two cats in the yard.
Times used to be so hard. Yeah, no, girl. When you sent it to me, you were like, yeah, it's not this one. It's the Our House. In the middle of our street.
And then I mean,
Our House.
The first version. That's like a really, that's an older song. Was that an 80s song or was that a 70s song?
The first one was the 70s.
But wow, you took it back to Huey Lewis. Yeah, and why I said Back to the Future is because I think in the first
I think at the end of the movie, yeah.
It's one of those songs that are attached to that movie. When I'm just having like flashes of Michael J. Fox skateboarding, and it's playing where he's like skateboarding through the town, and that song is playing.
Yeah. I don't feel like this song fits at all.
It doesn't.
But you know, I'm not feeling this Celine Dion one either.
Yeah, neither of them
fit. It might make you sad. Next time you feel it might make you mad. But you'll be glad, baby, when you found that's the power that makes the world go round.
Does Luther Vandross have a Power of Love song? Luther Vandross.
I don't think so, Jane. I see Celine Dion and that's it.
But I would say, going just by the title, that it works, because it is the power of love for Jimmy. I guess it's the power of love for everybody. For Jimmy and Hazel.
I was going to bring that up.
For Sean and Snake, and for Caitlin and Joey.
I definitely was going to bring that up, that for this episode, the storylines are definitely thematic with what the show is titled.
That's the thing. They typically go by the title.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, it seems like they're just not looking out for any, maybe they didn't listen to the song.
You want to try and do that? Some, I'm sure, are hits and some are misses, but yeah. Ideally, the title should have something to do with what the episode is about.
Yeah, they're not always great.
If not, then why do we have a title for it? But like I said, that can be hit or miss.
I think it most relates to Caitlin and Joey. But
well, I mean, I can see that.
At least that's just the snakes.
That's the romantic type, right? Of love.
That's but typically snakes, how I
Snake and Sean is more family.
Mm-hmm. It does make the world go round. So I can agree with that lyric. The power of love, makes the world go round. That's the power makes the world go round. And it don't take money, don't take fame, don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden. It can be cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. I think that part I definitely see about Sean, because I think that his relationship, even though Emma and him are not, you know, together anymore, I think that the relationship he had with Emma definitely saved his life, because he got stability along with what Tracker was able to provide. But okay. I think that he was able to be stable with Tracker because of that relationship, and it helped.
I'm not crazy.
I would agree.
There is a song by
Luther
Vandross. It's not called the Power of Love. It's just called Power of Love. I was like, hold up. I know my Luther. I was like, there's got to be. I was like, why am I feeling like there's a Luther Vandross song, Power of Love? It's just Power of Love, not the Power of Love.
Got it. Well.
I was like, don't play with me and Lufa.
Don't play with you and Lufa. All right.
Shall we move on let's slide to the fashion corner.
My favorite corner. Not this week, though.
Okay, so I am hating Hazel's look in the first scene. The parted bangs is weird. And her makeup is, like, especially frosty, which I know was the time.
Yes, they frosted her.
Too much.
And I hate it.
I think that though I don't care for it, I feel like for me, just the standout in this episode were the outfits for the prom. That's all I'm really paying attention to. And even though I did take my little screenshot of Paige and Hazel at the beginning, I think it was because I more like Paige's top, but I don't know if it's a repeat or not.
Yeah. It's nothing special.
It's nothing special. It's more the way she's wearing it. But it's still nothing that great. You know, I live for their prom outfits. Well,
the early 2000s, they had that horrible bang phase where people had the really short bangs and the long hair. The fringe. Hair.
Yeah.
Horrible. Mm-hmm.
And horrible. This is just for this week. I mean, I think that she styles it differently going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe this was just like the
only time we've seen the cut.
Yeah. Like maybe this is just like the fresh hairstyle and she's got to like wear it a couple weeks for it to grow out. I don't know.
I thought Spinner looked really good in his kurta.
I thought Spinner looked really good in his kurta too.
And I thought Jimmy did all right in his sari.
The color was good. The color went with his skin tone well.
And obviously Paige and Hazel looked really fucking cute.
Oh, yeah. So super cute. The Hazel even had like the dot.
Yeah.
The third eye.
Yeah.
They pulled her hair up with the clip, and I like how it was the traditional, but they had jeans on under it, but it still worked.
Yeah,
and that blue looks good on her, and her makeup is great. The highlight on like the inner corner of her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I will shout out Caitlin. For her little, her silky blue, her silky blue, like, The cuff is way too big, and I know that this was just the time. This is just the kind of yeah, baby, Austin Powers 60s revival thing we were doing at this time. But I like the silky deep blue. It's like almost a cobalt that she's wearing when she's packing with Tomas in her office. I think she's wearing it at other points too, but that's where I took the screenshot of her. I think it looks nice on her, and it's very like, of all her attempts to be like that power suit lady, this is the one that lands for me.
It's not her worst look.
Whatever, Jamie.
I honestly don't have any comparison. As and why I just made that sound was, it's just like her power business woman. Like, that's also energy, and she wasn't given power business energy.
She
like,
was not.
She usually isn't, though.
You can put her in that suit, but if she ain't bringing that energy, like, let's just say she trying to have the power suit.
Yeah.
Is why I made that.
That's fair, and I completely agree.
Because a power business woman without thought wouldn't be like, hell yeah, I'm gonna do my I work what I work for. This man can wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, then I feel like it was fairly easy to talk about who bummed us out this week, but
yeah. Yeah, so Caitlin bummed me out. Really, mostly it was Caitlin that bummed me out. Marco, I guess, bummed me out for setting the school on fire.
He did really literally set the school on fire. My only gripe with Marco is why would you put
material?
I was thinking that. What I know those stage lights that he was using
into the lights.
Yeah, those lights get so hot. If they're anything like studio or stage lights, they could sizzle skin.
And I don't know, you know, I'm sure there wasn't no Googlers, but I'm sure there was the AOL search engine, or worst come to worst, before all this technology, there were these things called encyclopedias. you were in school, so you had some access to actually research and stuff. So,
right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's fine, but
I love Marco.
He bummed me. It's a pass, slight bummy.
I like him, and it was an accident.
It was an accident. I mean, I'm gonna have to give it to Spinner because he brought no money.
Yeah,
that man brought no cash.
He didn't have a dollar.
He ain't have a dime, and he bothered me.
Broke. We know but this.
How is he taking Paige to prom with no money? If Jimmy had said, I'm not paying for lunch, how are you going to feed her? You were just going to take her straight to prom and say nothing.
I think because Jimmy had stated earlier that the dinner was on him, that just gave Spinner the, okay, well, cool, I ain't got to have any money.
That was the day before prom. He had no plans for money.
Did you notice what happened? So you always want to have a few dollars.
Mm-hmm. It looked like Jimmy pulled out American dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Which is weird. Have to zoom in on that. Yeah.
That he's in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any. I feel like that's probably about it. Like, even though... yeah, no, that's about it. Yeah, I don't have
there was
any.
No one else that I felt like super bummed by.
Shining Stars.
Snake.
I gotta give it to Sean too.
Sean, yeah, I'm gonna give it to him. Because honestly, how many people, doesn't even have to be just a kid, an adult, if you did some shit and you had the opportunity, somebody you did it to showed you some kindness, how many people would just be like, you know what, that's not my business, I'm gonna just go about my day and not say anything? Like,
too many.
It's in the past, blah, blah, blah.
But that shows to character.
Right. That's why he's a shining star
because
for me. Because he really did
feel bad that he
did
it. Because the reason why he did it. It wasn't like, I needed that laptop so I could pawn it so I could pay my electric bill. You know?
Yeah.
Right. No, it was... I took it simply because I wanted to get back at your daughter, point blank, period.
Yeah.
I got to give it to Joey, too. And I'm also going to give it to Hazel.
I'll give it to Hazel for her reassurance. And Joey, I will give it to Joey. Yeah.
Yes.
Because I love that Joey is so... And this feels like the best version of a relationship that he's been in so far. It feels healthy. It's giving maturity. One side of it, anyway. Yes, and I mean, Caitlin comes around.
I love that he's got to hold it down. Of his woman. And even though it meant his woman leaving for 9 months, I love that he was very supportive of her career.
Yeah. And that he was going to be there for her when she was done
with her career. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And I believe him this time. I can't say the same for the old series. I ain't believe a motherfucking word out of his mouth. But I believe him this time. Damn. So he can get a shining star.
And yeah, and definitely Hazel, because all the stuff that was going wrong, and at the end of the day, she just wanted to spend time with Jimmy.
Right. How many girls would be irritated? I know that would have probably irritated me mildly, even though, like, just that being inconvenient
irritated me.
But, like, to know that ultimately she just wants to be with Jimmy and she just wants to have a good night. It's like, it makes you want more Hazel. It makes you, because she's just such a sweet character but she's just so sweet. And you have these glimpses of it that we don't really fully get any payoff. So she's certainly a shining star for that.
Actually, more than the limo, the money.
Yeah.
But you could also say that the money wasn't Jimmy's fault.
No, the money was 100%.
Jimmy had enough money for their dinners. Yeah. He wasn't anticipating $40 extra because they didn't pay.
Right.
So
no, he handled the situation as well as he could have.
He did. And she was nice. But I definitely, if I was Hazel, I'd have hit Spinner and the other girl, Paige. I'd have because for sake of no drama on our prom night and we're just trying to have fun, okay, I'm not going to say nothing, but tomorrow?
Yeah, they be running me their allowance for a couple weeks, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You shalt run me thy allowance.
Or, whenever I need a couple bucks and I ask you for a couple bucks, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So,
but yes.
Does it go there?
Does it go there?
No. It goes there as far as a show like that is going to go.
Oh, no.
No, this goes Degrassi fucking goes there. The Sean and Snake plot goes there the most.
Yeah, it's the most, like, gritty in terms of, like...
From the episodes that I can really remember, like so that's why it is between 90210. Mm-hmm. And an after school special. I don't know if you guys ever seen an after school special.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure.
And
yeah.
So, you know, they talk about serious issues, but it's usually always actually any 80s kind of half hour show is like this, where it's all wrapped up in half hour and they touch on it and you get the point of it, but does it really like dive deep into it?
Not this episode, definitely. Yeah. But we've got more. I think this season. Do we tally how many episodes go there in our season wrap up?
Because
I'd like to
do
that.
We can. Start
I think
doing
that'd be
that,
fun.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun. But like, we definitely had more of a packed season. We had domestic violence this season.
Self-harm
this season.
Is this the season where Paige got sexually assaulted?
No, that was season two.
Yeah,
so I mean, it touches on stuff, but I mean, just for this as a standalone episode for me, like I said, it was as deep as I was expecting to go, especially in 22 minutes. I gotta wrap it up 2%. Okay,
yes.
No.
All right, but yes, thank you for thank you for coming, Jane.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. This was great.
Love you.
Yes, I can't wait to do it again.
Yes, we will be doing it again. I'm gonna stop recording, and then you can go.
Okay, all right. Well, I am going now. Can I get some rest, honey?
Avis, you want to lead us on out, babe?
Yasun Dad.
Bavis.
Thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, we'll be joined by last season's trivia winners, Heather and Audrey, for our season 3 wrap-up. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Alienware, Fortune City Limousine, and support from listeners like you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
We'd like to take a moment to say thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Miranda Bickers.
June Bard.
Margot Mancini.
Octavia Faith.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producer, Alika Fenderson.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.